Take your Bible this morning to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 16. The theme for that the Lord has laid on my heart, the theme for this year of 2019 are the two lines of this poem written by a man in the late 1800s, C.T. Studd. We're going to learn more in the coming weeks and months about C.T. Studd as I look at his life and just see the testimony that he had. C.T. Studd gave his life to the Lord, and even though he was a good sportsman, he really wanted to honor God in his life, and he played cricket, all right, the game called cricket, and he gave his life to the Lord, and he really had a remarkable testimony. Well, C.T. Studd is attributed to writing a poem, and the main lines of the poem are, "Only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." And so, this, I believe, is the theme that God would have us to consider for the year of 2019. Really soberly thinking about our life and the fact of the importance of living for Jesus. Living for Jesus. And so, I've had you open your Bible to Luke chapter 16. I would like you to look at verse 10. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 10. Notice what the words of Jesus are here, what Jesus says. He says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." Please notice that. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. This is an important truth that Jesus shares with us. He says that if we are faithful with little things, if we're faithful in little things, God says, I can really trust you with big things, right? But he says, if you're unjust or unfaithful with little things, he says, you're going to be unjust with big things too. So the little things, Jesus really is saying here, the little things matter. They matter a whole lot. And we talked last week how the little things really make up most of our day, right? I mean, from the start to the end of our day, a lot of our day many times is made up of, you know, the mundane, you know, this and that and the other thing. But you know what? God says how we handle the little things makes a big difference. In our scripture reading this morning, we read the parable Jesus told, which he said taught us some things about the kingdom of heaven. Or I like to say, really, God's economy. How things work in God's value system. All right? God really values faithfulness. I mean, he really does. He values faithfulness. In that parable, that story that Jesus told, it's a story he told. He just kind of, you could say he made it up on the spot to prove a spiritual truth, to help us understand some truth. So there in Matthew, he said, "For the kingdom of heaven is as," or it's like, "a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered them his goods." So, Jesus says God's economy is like this. It's like as a man is going to, you know, who he's going to take off. He's going away, long trip. He's going to return, but he entrusts his servants or employees or whatever. He entrusts those with what he left behind, with his goods. And he says to one, he said, "Here, take care of these 5 talents. And the talent was a measurement of money, all right? So take care of this money, and you take care of this." And he entrusted different responsibilities to different servants. And he said, after a long time, you'll want to notice that. Matthew 25, let's see. Oh, I want to notice another thing in verse 15. the last part of the verse of Matthew 25, verse 15. It says that he gave to every man according to his several ability. According to his several ability. So what we want to understand is that God entrusts you and me with things, with stuff, with responsibility. Some of the responsibilities God has entrusted to us, some of the most sobering responsibilities he's entrusted to us, is us, our life. Our very life is a gift from God. We're not merely talking, as Jesus' story was, about money. We're talking about our life as a whole. God has given you life, and it's something to use wisely. In the story here, the Bible tells us that God entrusted these servants, or in Jesus' story, that these servants were entrusted according to their ability. And notice verse 16. Tells us that the one who had received five talents went and traded the same and made other five talents. Verse 17, likewise he that received two, he gained other two. And so they used the resources wisely, and they were able to, in some sense, take a risk, yes, but they were able to make a profit, okay? And that's an important spiritual truth for us. You'll notice verse 18. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Okay? So that third servant here in the story, he squandered what his Lord had given. He didn't use it wisely. And you know what? Our life, our very life, we can squander it. We can be like, well, you know, it's worth something, but we don't wisely utilize it. The Bible tells us to redeem the time. To redeem the time. That means to make good use of our time. To use it wisely. To spend it wisely. God wants us to not waste our life. He doesn't want us to merely spin our wheels doing nothing, or worse yet, just wasting it on the things of this world. He wants us to live wisely, to use our life, our resources to bless others, to do the will of God. And so, notice also continuing in the story, verse 19, it says, and after, what's the next three words? And after a long time. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. That's a good reminder for us that in God's economy, we are going to give account. We are going to give account. God is going to say, what did you do with the life I gave you? And let's remember, one of the most critical things we could do in life is put our trust in the Savior. Because I'll tell you what, if we are going on in sin as a sinner that we all are, if we just live in sin, even trying to be a good person, but we're living apart from God, we are destined for destruction. No question about it. We are destined for a place of eternal damnation. But the fact of the matter is that God loves us, and God gave his Son so that we could be saved. God's desire is that every man, woman, and child would be saved. Everyone. That's his desire. Not everybody is saved, sadly. But everybody can be if they would trust Jesus as their Savior. The Bible tells us salvation is not by works. So even this story here that we're reading is not teaching us how to get saved or anything like that. It's actually more geared to a Christian not wasting their life, right? But really living for the Lord. But you know what? We don't earn our salvation because we can't, for one thing. We're a sinner that needs the Savior. Jesus paid the price so that we could be saved. By trusting Jesus, by calling on Him to save us, He will do what He promised. He will save us, give us eternal life, give us the Holy Spirit to dwell with us in this life. And then we can do the will of God. And then we can be a faithful servant. So God's entrusted us with life. And as the words of this poem go on to say, only one life, only one. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind, would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before His judgment seat. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, and with its clays I must fill, living for self or in His will. When this bright world with temptation, when this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow Thy word to keep, faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing Thee in daily life. Oh, let me love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for Thee and Thee alone, bringing Thee pleasure on Thy throne. Only one life, yes, only one, now let me say, Thy will be done. And when at last I hear the call, I know I'll say, 'twas worth it all. 'Twas worth it all. You only get one life. Really. Now, we, all of us here, we are going to exist somewhere forever. Forever. That's sobering. The choices we make here, like I mentioned, that major choice, choosing Christ, putting our faith in Him, makes an eternity of difference. Eternity of difference. But you know what? There are other choices we make too. When I was a young man, I recognized my sinful condition. I trusted, I called on Jesus to save me as best I knew how. And you know what? He did. He did. Peace came into my heart. And God is my Heavenly Father, my Savior. And I know that beyond the shadow of a doubt. I know that. But you know what? I've made many other choices in my life, and I'm going to make choices this week. And so are you. Are we going to make choices to live for Christ, to do His will? Are we going to consider what His will is? I want to encourage you in a couple of thoughts. Well, first of all, as a child of God who's trusted Christ as our Savior, we are responsible for what God has entrusted to us. And so I want to encourage you with this point here. We need to get ownership straight. The ownership of our life, the ownership of our possessions. We need to get it straight. The Bible tells us we are not our own, for we are bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. If you're saved, you are not your own. You're twice His. He created you. So really, everybody in the world is His because He created us. But you know what? For those of us who've trusted Jesus as our Savior, we are twice His because He gave His life to buy us back off of the auction block of sin. Off of the auction block of slavery to sin and to the devil. Jesus paid the price to purchase us, to buy us back, to give us new life, to give us eternal life. And so we are twice His. So we need to get ownership straight. In the story Jesus told, the servants were entrusted with whose goods, those talents that were entrusted to them. Whose were they? The owners, the Lord, the Master, the one who'd gone away. They weren't. The servants, though they were entrusted with them, and in a sense they were like theirs, their responsibility, but in another very real sense, they were not theirs. It was the Master's. And that's the same thing for us. We need to get ownership straight. Your life is not your own. You may say, hey, I can do what I want. Well, yes, the decision does lie in your lap, but your life is not your own. You're accountable to the Heavenly Father. Even the resources of our life, be it the talents and abilities, be it the money, even the ability to make money. Our health is a gift from God, you know? Everything is of the Lord. Let me read you Psalm 24, verse 1. The Bible says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7 says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." Promotion cometh not from the east or the west, but from God. I would like you to take your Bible to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, that's in the beginning of the Bible, not too far in, and chapter 29. After 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and then 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. Look at the testimony of David in this passage. 1 Chronicles 29, and we're going to begin with verse 10. "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is this, my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own." Who owns it? God does. God owns it all. Verse 17, "I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in thy uprightness of mine heart, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen the joy of thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers. Keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of thine heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, thy statutes. And he goes on, all right? So really, they've collected the materials to build the temple. David didn't build it. His son did actually do the construction work. But David had the privilege of collecting all the materials. And the people gave. And they rejoiced to give back to God what was already his. And it just helps us to understand the fact that God is the Lord. He owns it all. We owe it all to him. Our very lives are his. And so, you know, getting ownership straight is really important. Because if we think our life is our own, we're liable to follow our stubborn heart. But if we recognize my life is God's, everything I have is God's. You know, giving to the Lord or something like that. It's like, Lord, my life is yours. And we recognize the owner, and it's easier then to listen to his instructions, because he told us what to do with our life. He wants to direct our steps. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They're ordered by the Lord. And so, get ownership straight. Secondly, I want you to understand, not only do we need to get ownership straight if we're going to be faithful in big and little things, but we need to secondly recognize the relational preeminence. The relational preeminence that God has in his plan. What do I mean by relational preeminence? I'll tell you what. If God wanted to get something done in this world, like just take care of it, like let's ask the question, does he need us? No, absolutely not. But you know what? He desires not to just, although he can, he desires not to just work like boom and make it happen. He desires to work through his people. And there's a relational element here. He said to his disciples, you know, he said, you're not just servants. You're my friends. You're my friends. God, let me put it this way. God is not so interested in what you can do for him as in who you are with him. Does that make sense? You know what? He can get things done lots of ways. But he is interested in fellowship with you. He personally gave his son so that we could have fellowship. So that we could have a relationship and have communion with God. Every day, you know what? To do the will of God in a day, say tomorrow, to do the will of God, the first thing to do is not to look at the list of thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt. The first thing to do is to talk to God, to hear his voice, to read his word, to say, Lord, I love you. Lord, what do you want for my life today? To really commit our day to God and to recognize God hasn't just given us some dry commandments to do or a certain way to live. He wants there to be interaction. Imagine, you know, one of the most sacred of human relationships, one of the most special and intimate of human relationships is a husband and a wife. But imagine how that relationship breaks down if there's not communication. Does that make sense? The point of marriage isn't just to get things done or to exist on planet Earth, right? The point of God's design of marriage is for companionship, help to one another. It's for love. It's for, yes, I mean, yes, there's work to be done and there's daily life to accomplish and all that, but God's design of the marriage and of the home is for there to be fellowship, right? I mean, we could raise kids in a factory. Like, you know, we could just have like cell blocks, but that's not God's design. And there would be a very critical element missing. And that's the element of communion, of love. And that's what God doesn't want us to miss in our relationship with Him, in our life. So, get ownership straight. God owns it all. Secondly, let's remember the preeminence God places on relationship. How is your relationship with Him? God's not calling you to just do things for Him. He's calling you to be something with Him. There needs to be something going on between you and God for there to be a healthy relationship. All right? And thirdly, examine, as we think about being a faithful servant, okay? A faithful servant of the Lord. Get ownership straight. Recognize the preeminence of relationships, particularly with God. And thirdly, it's important for a servant to examine and apply God's instructions to daily life. Examine and apply. God has given us instructions, and we do well to take heed to them, right? Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments," right? We can't say, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And then His commandments, we go, you know, fooey on that, right? No, that's not going to work. That's our words of, "Lord, I love you," are very empty. Okay? We must examine, "Lord, what is your will for my life? What do you have for me? How do you want me to live?" And we're going to get into that more in the weeks ahead. I don't have time today to really dive into that. But the Bible tells us in Psalm 1 about the blessed man. He says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight," the blessed man, he delights, verse 2, "in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night." And God says that blessed man who listens to the law of the Lord, he's going to be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The blessed man. The blessed man's not listening to the counsel of the world. He's not walking in the ways of his own stubborn, sinful flesh. He's yielded his heart to God. He's seeking, "Lord, what do you want for my life? How is it with you?" Only one life. That's all we get, in a sense. There's an eternity to follow. I understand that. But right now, on this earth, God says our life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Are we going to live to do the will of God? Say those lines with me, would you? Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And remember, it's not about just doing things either. It's really about a relationship. Being something with God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the challenge you've given us to our lives. We know that it's easy to be distracted with just the busyness of life. One thing and then another, and life flies by. Help us, Lord, to take time to seriously consider, what is your will for my life? What do you want me to be doing? Help us to recognize our accountability, that you are the owner and we are the steward. We are the servant that you've entrusted with this life, with so much. We are blessed. But help us to recognize the opportunities you want us to take in serving you. And I pray that you'd help us to nurture a healthy communication with you, that we would draw close, that we would be something with you in our personal life, in our private life. Lord, I thank you that you love us, that you care so much about every little detail of our life. Help us to be faithful in the little things, that we might be entrusted as well with greater things. Lord, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.